So lay off, okay? It's my Christmas. It's a full tie. See, it's a full thing. So just, you know, come on. I got two in this year, remember. So those of you who say you don't wear ties, I wear a tie. Here it is, two of them. We're glad you're with us. I'm glad that you've come to celebrate. That's what Christmas is really all about. And to think about, you know, it's a time of just celebration of really the birth of the Christ child and what it's really all about and why he came, that we might have life and have it to the fullest. You can read that up there. I want you to read it as we begin. I'm going to ask all the stars, kids, all the stars, and Laura and workers, if you'll come on up here, Miss Laura is going to read us a story for all the stars. So those of you who are from kindergarten to fifth grade, right, Miss Laura, come on up here. I know we've got some in this service. We'll have more in the second service, but come on up here. They're all dressed, ready to go. Come on, Matt. Come on up here. I want you to sit right down here, and Miss Laura's got the pictures here, so you sit right here, and you'll sit around Miss Laura. There you go. Yeah, by the way, hey, you guys, before you actually go home today, you need to see Gabe and Rebecca, because they are matching again for like the fifth week in a row back there. Gabe and Rebecca, you know, it's so nice to see sweet young couples just wearing things that look alike. And it is Christmas, Gabe, so hats off to you. Are you ready for Christmas? Have you all been good? Heck yeah! Is that right? Yeah, we're ready, aren't you? Yeah, absolutely. All right, why don't you guys turn around here? Sit down here and watch Miss Laura. Turn around. There you go, because she's got pictures, and she's going to show them to you here. There you go. Not such a silent night. There you go, Miss Laura.
Okay. Listen, Listen to the Silent Night by Dandy Daly McCall, paintings by Steve Johnson and Lou Fancher. Okay, here's the first picture. It was not such a silent night. Hear the hoo, 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 as a night owl flew across a winding trail where cold wind blew. Mary knew her time must be nearly due for the sun who had set things right. It was not such a silent night. Hear the flip, flap, flop of Joseph's sandals. Roman soldiers passed and their horses neighed. Mary rolled and bounced while the donkey swayed as she rode toward the Bethlehem light. It was not such a silent night. Hear the oomph, oomph, oomph of the shoving game down in Bethlehem where the faithful came as the growing crowds tried to stake their claim in the inns on that festival night. It was not such a silent night. Hear the rap, tap, tap on the inn's big door. Joseph begged for rooms, but there were no more. Then they found a barn, just a hay-tossed floor, where they prayed and prepared for the night. Okay, you guys have to help me with this next one. You ready? It was not such a silent night. Hear the moo, moo, moo. Oh, you guys have to do better than that. Come on. Ready? Moo, moo. Much better when you do it. Are you ready for the next one? And the rooster crowed, cock-a-doodle-doo. Oh, no, no, no. Again. Here we go.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Oh, rock on, Sam. Good job. Mary settled in by this noisy crew, keeping watch for the dawning of light. It was not such a silent night. Hear the swish, swish, swish of the desert sand as the camels raced toward a far-off land. And the wise men rode with their gifts in hand towards the star that was brighter than bright. It was not such a silent night. Ready? Hear the baa, baa, baa of the sheep who crept up a hill so steep where the moonbeam swept and the snoring sounds as the shepherd slept under the skies that were starry and bright. It was not such a silent night. Hear the flut, flut, flutter of angels' wings. Hear the wondrous message the angel brings while a host of angels from heaven sings, Christ the King has been born this night. It was not such a silent night. Hear the whoosh, whoosh, whoosh as the staffs waved free while the shepherds cry, "We must go and see. The Messiah is here, born for you and me." So they raced to the glorious light. It was not such a silent night as Mary groaned in pain. Joseph by her side. Then a shout rang out. Baby Jesus cried. So they held him close, filled with joy and pride. A miraculous Christmas night. Can you all help me say the end? The end. Okay, now we get to go back to the stars room.
Wait, there's one noise that she left out. There was one noise that she left out. The noise of the shepherd snoring. So do your mommy and daddy snore? Your mommy does? Oh, okay. All right. So we all going to make a snoring sound, okay? When I go 1, 2, 3, you're going to snore, right? Right? Okay. 1, 2, 3. All right. Go have a party. Stars, go on. There you go. Thank you. It wasn't such a silent night. In our hearts, find a silence in the middle of the noise. With the bustling of our Christmas and the clattering of toys, help us slip into the silence filled with hallelujah joys on not such a silent night. And in the process of Christmas, between our worship and between all the kids and the family and the fun, I think we need to find that place at times where we slip into the silence and to really think of what Christmas is all about, so that we have that time just to be still and know that He is God incarnate, come as a babe for us, that we might have life and have it to the full. And then from that, we take that and we offer back to that King, that Christ child, our life, what the offering that we bring to Him in such a silent night, the offering. I pray that as people around the world celebrate today, that they'll see that it's more than just the celebration of a day, but a celebration of a life more abundant, that has been provided through the birth of your Son and the death of your Son. So as we celebrate today, may that be a desire of our heart as well. For it's in your Son's that we pray. Amen. We're glad you're with us. Brandon, would you grab that stool for me right there, buddy? Thank you, sir.
Hi.
Hi, Ben.
How's it going?
Yeah, I guess we're going to put the
you
rose
between... You want to be in the middle?
Rose between two thorns. Do we need to be so far away, Ben? Is that okay?
I mean, well...
I know, you know, we don't want to be a recluse.
I'm not afraid of you guys. Come
okay,
on over.
Good.
Can we go ahead and put the back lights on somebody just so we can see a little more clearly? I know that we may drop them again, but if you'll put in those back lights on for me, thank you. Man, it's been a great year, and in the process of, as you look around, as we see between this service and next service, just the way God has blessed in so many ways. And so for Christmas today, instead of just, we just wanted to do something a little different. We're just going to talk a little bit about Christmas, talk about some of the things, and talk about just really... you know, we know the Christmas story and the narrative, but just from us and our hearts. But I also think there's some reality checks at Christmas that take place. One of them is stress, just the issue of stress. How many of you, as you sit here today, okay, raise the hands, and if you're sitting with your family, you don't have to do this. But how many of you have stress at Christmas? Just raise your hand. You feel the stress of it. Some people do. You have stress at Christmas, huh?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm the Christmas machine.
Oh, are you? You are. That's the stress, but you just turn it out.
Well, it's just hard to fit in everything in life plus Christmas.
I see.
And you know, I start early and I finish late every year.
I get a little stressed. I just get a little stressed about everything and what it has become versus what it is, and then family and just. Issues, that kind of stuff.
I have to work at keeping the focus of really what it is. I mean, you think about Christmas, and it's not Christmas Day; it's the journey.
Yeah.
Preparing for it, because here's today, and boom, it's gone. It's over.
Yeah.
So that journey, and I'm trying really hard to work every year at keeping that focus, really on focusing on Christ for all those weeks ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Ben?
No, man, I don't experience any stress.
No, that's because you don't any of it.
I got great family.
Oh, wait.
It's easy. It's
Amy,
great.
Amy, are you stressed?
Yeah. No. I was going to say.
She's doing something right now. She doesn't have time to talk.
She's wrapping gifts.
She's doing something you got her and told her to do.
That's right.
You
that's
have
good.
No stress, no family?
No,
stress?
Heck no,
okay.
Man.
All right,
great.
I understand.
I never have stress. What about, are you guys like gift buyers, or do you buy gift cards?
I don't like gift cards.
What about for you guys?
You don't like gift cards?
I don't like gift cards.
You know, and I just think gift cards are so impersonal.
I do too.
You know, you,
I don't
it,
like
it takes no thought.
I have remember? People who ask me for a gift card, and I'm like, should we just exchange checks or cash?
Well, that's what I do.
Blah.
That is a good deal. We're doing cash next year.
Yeah, gift cards are so impersonal, but cash, green. It goes with anything, any size fits. You know? No. No, I'm not a real gift card shopper.
Yeah.
Some of you guys gave me up last week to my wife, by the way, who's not in the service, because I shared with you the philosophy of my shopping, and you threw me under the bus. Anyway, that's okay.
Well, you know, and I think gift cards are good if, like, you know, if you're giving somebody that you don't really, it's not in your family.
Whoa,
and you're
you
giving
be careful
them,
oh, how you finish that one.
Well, but,
just kidding,
but when somebody says to me, I want a Kohl's gift card for Christmas, I'm like, I just don't like that. So what about you? Do you end up having people that you have to shop for that you really don't want to buy for?
Oh, no. I love buying for anyone in my family. I mean, my close family, my extended family, I mean, the babies, the ones not even born yet. I mean, I love buying for all my family. All my family.
Should we just call you Santa Claus?
Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah. It really is great to have family in your church, huh, Ben?
It is.
It is. Wonderful. Now, you know, sometimes it's buying for people that you don't. The issue is, sometimes you struggle. Do we buy them some? Even Christmas cards, do we send them a card or not send them a card? Are they worth a 45-cent or whatever it is stamp?
It's getting up there.
Yeah, it's getting up there. You know, all that. And then even somebody this morning said, I hate the stress of Christmas. I won't throw Brian Williams under the bus this morning. But he said, I hate the stress of Christmas because somebody gives you something and you got to go, I didn't get them done. I got to run back out and get something for them. And it's bad when it's your wife. That's what's even worse.
You deserve to be under the bus.
Yeah, exactly. You know, within that whole process. But, you know, in that, and I, you know, are you a re-gifter? Now, I'm not talking about white elephant. What, Pat, did you just, who did the, Who's a re-gifter? And I'm not talking about for white elephant. We all re-gift that stuff. But I mean really a re-gifter.
Well,
you go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No.
No, you incriminate yourself first.
No, you did re-gift. That is awesome. Because you are Miss Christmas, and if I did re-gift and you did too, then that means I'm not as bad as I thought I was.
Well, you know, well, we actually had a re-gift in our family that went on for years, and this was bad because I was dating Rich, and we were, you know, just getting to know our families and whatnot, and he wrapped up these hideous pink beads that his mother had with these gaudy earrings, and I'm sitting there with his family, and I open this thing, and I'm like, oh, how nice, and they're all just cracking up. Those beads went on for years.
Hmm.
Everybody got those beads. That's a good kind of regift.
Yeah, I guess it's a fun regift. I don't think we regift too much. But however, we have been regifted, and it's pretty bad. If you're gonna regift, you need to have at least enough sense to take the tags off that was given to somebody else. I mean, to you from somebody else. Because we have opened stuff that people have given to me. And I open it up, and when you turn it over, they forgot to take the tag off the bottom that says to so-and-so, from so-and-so, and then it's coming to me, and it's not my name.
Great.
So, you know, the re-gifting issue does get a little
bit
carried away.
Just mail it back to Scrooge.
Yeah, mail it back, whatever. You know, I wait and re-gift it again and tell them, hey, they didn't get you anything. You know, that's what I do. No, I'm just kidding within that process.
So are there those Christmases that you are like, man, this Christmas was maybe not the worst, because they're never the worst, but one that you're like, man, this could have been so much better? Or are they all fantastic?
No. In fact, early on in some of our family stuff, our family stress was always around the holiday, be it Thanksgiving or Christmas or something like that, because for whatever. So there was that. But then there was one year in my, you know, Marva, my cousin, Marva, who the crier up here, she gave me the mumps. And and I remember that.
That's the time to re-gift.
Well, now she's going to lie and say I gave them to her, but that she's also a liar besides just being a crier. But that was also, it was a dichotomy because here I, you know, stuck on the couch with a mom, you know. But it's the year I didn't get Red Ryder, but I got my Daisy BB gun. And then I could shoot Marva. And that was even the best one. That was, so
nice.
I had the worst gift and the best gift all in, you know, in that kind of process. But yeah, there's been some bummers. There have been some bummers, believe me.
Yeah, I'm short of memory, which is good, so I don't remember the good or the
bad.
I just know we always have Christmas. So, but you know, I want to know what you guys, what's your favorite part of the Christmas story? What kind of just grabbed you?
Besides being with my family.
But no, the Christmas story. What's your favorite part of the Christmas? You know that story that
yes,
you read to the kids?
Yes. Actually, my favorite part is, and it's strange, but I was just reading it this morning again, after people came and visited Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, and it says It says that Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. And, you know, I can't get past that phrase, and I know I've talked about it numerous Christmases, but just that idea of her just cherishing all those things that God was doing. And that blows my mind that she had the firsthand experience of going through that whole process.
Well, that's an example to us to just think about what God's done for us and just daily treasure that.
Yeah, I think the grace, overall the whole narrative is just a humility that's seen. You know, here's the birth of a king, but not born as a king. I mean, the shepherds making the announcement, and those who thought they were somebody missed it. Yeah. And yet the common man who Christ came for, ultimately. And I think that whole narrative, the humility of Christ, that we need to be that same humility, and really probably what Christmas is really all about is a humble spirit in that process, and yet he came for the common man, available for common man, that whole process within that. And in that, I think that's, you know, within that whole process. Traditions in your family that you have or not have? Some people have a lot of traditions, some people don't. Some people want to start traditions. I mean, we don't have a whole lot of traditions.
We haven't had a whole lot, but we've just kind of recently started some with our grandkids. The day after Thanksgiving, this is an ongoing thing. I've had these plastic Christmas people, those gaudy things that you put in your yard. And I've had them for years, and I've just saved them and said, you know what? When we have grandkids, we're gonna use those. You know, we didn't have the right place to put them, and we finally got the yard situated where it worked. And so the day after Thanksgiving, we started this year, and our grandkids were there. And so we put that out right away and started the focus of what Christmas is.
Yeah.
And then another fun one that we've started doing is we do a Christmas ornament that has their picture in it every year. And I don't know when we'll stop, when they're 6 or 7 and they don't want that anymore. But just, so, you know, that it's the family of Christ and the family that's Christmas.
You guys have any traditions? You're a young family.
You know, not too many, except for we just eat. We always want to. We're that kind of family. We're like, man, we really need to start some amazing Christmas traditions. You know, those ones our kids will look back and be like, every year we, you know, strung together 40,000 pieces of popcorn or something like that they always remember. But just being together really is our tradition with our family, and we have a great time doing that.
Yeah. So what's the best gift you've ever gotten, Ben?
The best gift I've ever gotten?
Are we talking not spiritual? We're talking
received, a Christmas gift. Yeah, Christmas gift. What's the best gift you've ever received?
You know what? I know this sounds totally shallow, but when I was, I don't even know how old I was, a couple weeks ago, 10 years ago, I got a skateboard, and it was the one thing that I had wanted all year long. And I woke up Christmas morning, and I walked out there, and it was there, and it was unbelievable.
Cool. How about you, Bill?
Probably back to the Daisy BB gun to shoot Marva with. That's probably the, you know, yeah. I'll help. You'll load. No, you know, yeah, just so many things, you know, you see, but I guess that some of the actual gifts themselves pale. You forget all this time.
Yeah.
Everybody here, we spend all this money and time trying to find the right gift, but years pass and that right gift really may not have been that much, meant that much, and there's some things that really do. But I guess as far as a secular gift at Christmas itself was, you know, just something simple like this Daisy BB gun type.
Yeah. You know, growing up as a kid, my mom was sick most of my childhood, and I think there were lots of Christmases when her mental illness made for not such a great time, but the best Christmases were when peace reigned in our house, and she was well.
Yeah.
Some of those Christmases, you know. So that peace on earth, goodwill to men really rocked our house when it happened. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That kind of leads into the spiritual side of it. What is the greatest gift that you can give to someone?
I think your time.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it's funny you say that. We shared some of the questions. We have not shared any of the answers, per se. But as I thought, what is the greatest gift you can give? And people would say, well, love and all that. But it's all found in time. Mm-hmm. It really is. You can't give love if you don't spend time. You can't in any process, I think. And yet they say now that time is the currency of the generation now. It's time. And that's really what needs to be. Do we slow down long enough just to spend time with somebody?
Yeah. Do we get off of the whatever's in front of our face long enough? Yeah. Whatever electronic it is.
What did you think of when you asked that? What were you thinking of the greatest gift given?
You know what? Actually, I have time.
Is that right?
Not even scripted, promise you, okay?
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. We, just before we go into communion, part of the issue here is that we feel blessed to be here, to have this church family. The blessings of ministry, the blessings. I asked Ben early this morning, we were here early, and said, would we feel the same way if we weren't on church staff? If this wasn't our job, much less, you know, being the blessing of having Christmas on Sunday, of celebrating together with a church family, a body. And I think we would, because some of you feel that way. And you're this isn't, I mean, this is your church, but you're not on staff. You're not here for that reason. But the body of Christ, the family, and what we are, and we've been blessed. And so I've asked, I just want to ask him, and again, just, you know, what's been the blessing, you know, the blessing of life groups and the job that God's given you here, and the blessings of the music and arts, and what's as you've seen, and what's the gift and the blessings that you've received from what you do here with these people?
Yeah, I mean, this last couple weeks have been pretty amazing. Last week we had our epic Christmas party with all our life group participants, and just over the last year, seeing people invest time into each other. We just talked about time, but seeing people value their life group and pouring their lives into it, and out of that receiving life, and ultimately life to the full with Christ, and that's what it's about. So it's been a blessing just to hear how people have shared what God is doing. And that brings me the most joy out of anything, you know. Even with my kids, my two kids, when they share of something great that's happening at school or through their day, hearing them share things that's happening in their life is what brings me joy.
I find a lot of joy in those whom I serve with in the music and arts area, in those who have a servant's heart. You know, it's a performance ministry. We can't deny that. And when people will step away from that and say, no, this is about my heart for God, and this is how I want to serve Him, and that means that if you're going to use me in this or you're not going to use me, whatever makes worship happen, whatever feeds the body, whatever's good for the body, that's what I want. And I love the humility that our people bring to the table. I love that they're willing to step out of their comfort zone a lot of times to do something that's important for worship. That's a sacrifice, their faithfulness. You know, the band is here at 7:30 every Sunday morning. And the choir comes faithfully, and worship teams, people back in the sound booth who don't get much glory at all. The only time we notice them is when something goes wrong. And they have hearts that love God, and that blesses me, their humility and their service.
I think the greatest gift, as far as especially where God has me here, is just looking at people out around this and our body to see what God has done, but not only that, just to see changed lives. And I mean really changed lives. I look at some of you, I'm not talking about the ritualistic of coming on a Sunday morning, but some of you have amazing stories how God has changed and is changing your life. And we get to share many of those because you bring them to us. And we're trying to create a form where we can share them with the church. And Pastor Ben's working on that form with our media people. But within that process, the greatest gift, it is seen as a body, people whose lives have been changed radically. And as each Sunday, as I look around, I see and see people here and see some of you and know your stories about how God is really changing your life. That it's more than just a ritual. That is the biggest blessing you can see in the process within that. We're going to go into communion. I just want a real byline just real quick before we do this as the men come in just a moment. What's the greatest part of communion? What does it say to you?
What Jesus has done for me. You know, He has shed His blood for my sake.
Glenna?
I always come to the bread and the cup, the body and the blood of Christ. He chose to be human for us, that He laid aside His deity. That passage in Philippians, I won't read the whole thing, but He had the very nature of God and He set that all aside for us, and that's just mind-boggling.
Yeah. I was thinking about it again, and I guess part of the issue of communion for me, the blessing of it, it was set in the purpose and the ordinance of this body. It was for the church as a family. And I think that just speaks that He's saying, hey, you know, this is a reunion time. It's also a celebration. I know we approach it, even here we're approaching it, in a very solemn way, but it really is a party. It's an announcement. It's an announcement of a party. Come to this party. And so we come today. Gentlemen, if you'll come forward and take your positions, in just a moment we're going to pray. But as we come to communion today, 1 Corinthians is very clear in that process. And it says, for I received from the Lord what I pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He come. in just a moment as the elements are passed. The only thing that makes you worthy today of taking these elements is the birth of a son, the death of a son, the resurrection of a son, and then you accepting that son. And that's what makes us worthy, not the way we live, not our actions. What only makes us worthy is that he has covered us with his righteousness. And so if you don't know the Lord today, I say as you sit in that chair right there, it's not about what you bring to the table. It's about what he's done for you. And so if you don't know the Lord, I say right as you do that, right, ask Christ to come into your heart and your life, and then may this be your first communion as a believer. And for those of us who know the Lord, may you celebrate this with joy as we see what Christ has done, what he's done for us and in us. After the elements have been served, I ask Pastor Ben to pray for those elements. If you will hold those elements until the end, and then Pastor Ben will have us instructed just to take them together, and he'll pray for those as well. So, gentlemen, if you'll start serving, thank you.
Pastor Bill already mentioned, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after he gave thanks, he said, "Take this body in remembrance of me. Would you take this bread?" In the same way, he took the cup and said, "This is a new covenant established by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead and take this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he came to this earth to be born as a baby and then to die for our sins. We are so grateful, so thankful for what you have done. And God, we celebrate you. And I pray that you make this day a glorious day about you and about your Son. And God, that we would look back on this time as just a wonderful day where we are reminded of your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks again for being here. We say it every week. You're here not by mistake, but by design. God had a reason for you being here today. We're going to go. We're going to close with a song that really is the truth of this whole process, that God's grace is sufficient for you no matter what. No matter what you're going to face in the coming year, no matter what you face today, no matter the stresses of life, his grace is enough. It is always sufficient. So would you stand with me, please, as the band of the worship team takes us? Grace is enough. There you go.